Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Venom radio on, Venom television. I'm afraid of everyone. I'm afraid of everyone. Lay the young blue bodies with the old red bodies. I'm afraid of everyone. I'm afraid of everyone. With my kid on my shoulders, I try not to hurt anybody I like, but I don't have the drugs to soar. I don't have the drugs to soar.
I'm real upbeat. So I was going to say, Tuesday morning,
you take my advice and use your daily duty to celebrate your big fambling win over the weekend of the NFL playoffs. That was not a celebratory tune.
See, National is the band, and the song is Afraid of Everyone, which is pretty much my life and our lives. And you still get very panicked going out in public, especially in Encinitas, where it looks like Mardi Gras most of the time. Restaurants are just open, people just hanging out on the sidewalks, and I'm walking my child. I'm like, oh my God, all right. Just gonna do this thing here. Just gonna do it. So no, it's been a very fitting song for COVID-19. Afraid of Everyone by The National. One of my favorite bands.
Well, I'd be afraid of Woods right now if you're going up against him in any sort of picks competition. I thought I did pretty well. I won the first three games in our Fambling Selections, picking against the spread.
Yeah.
NFL playoffs on Saturday, of course. The Green Bay Packers covered quite handily against the LA Rams.
That was my lock of the week.
It was a methodical dismantling of the Rams. And I picked the Packers because I was unsure about the status and health of Jared Goff. Goff really wasn't the problem. They just had no answer to stop the Packers on Saturday afternoon. It was Aaron Donald was not 100%.
No.
It was limited. I think that was certainly a factor. And the Rams' defense not playing up to specs. Plus, of course, you know, their defensive coordinator had his mind elsewhere, you know, for the new job. He was about to be named as head coach of the Chargers. I doubt that was a factor. The Packers were just a better team. They got that one right. Then the Buffalo Bills against the Baltimore Ravens. That one kind of surprised me at how it played out. There was no offense in that game. 17-3, and seven of the points were on a 101-yard interception return by the Bills. It was simply a defensive struggle in which the Bills did what they had to do, basically, to get to the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, I was surprised as well. I expected a little bit more offense, and Lamar Jackson just did not look comfortable at all. And yeah, that to me, that's one of the ones I was worried about. I picked it fairly confidently. I took the Bills, and I think they were laying 2.5, but yeah, they won handily. It was kind of out of, after that interception, you just knew it's kind of over at this point. Justin Tucker missing two field goals early was just weird. It just doesn't make sense. He never misses, and you know, doinked a couple, and you're like, okay, all right, now it's starting to slide my way a little
just
bit.
Just wasn't
here.
The Ravens' day.
It was not.
You know, by different ways. It just wasn't their day.
Yep.
Then Sunday, you know, we both picked the Browns to cover, what, 10 points?
10.
They were getting?
10, yeah. And a 10 or 10 and a half, yeah.
It was a 10 spot. And in the first half, looked like we might have been on the wrong side of that. They fall behind 19-3, I believe was the score. And that was after the big T. Higgins fumble that went into the end zone, rolled out of the end zone, and cost the Browns probably at least 7 points. And even the Kansas City Chiefs went down and kicked another field goal.
Yep.
So a 10-point swing there at the end of the first half. To the Browns' credit, though, they did not fold. They came back, and then when Patrick Mahomes went out, you could see they really thought they had a chance there.
Well, they had
life. They did.
They absolutely did. And I was a little bit confused by their play calling. When Patrick Mahomes is out, you know, look, not to be callous, but there's blood in the water. Like, you have to swarm right then. When he goes down and he goes out, you've got to attack. You have to be aggressive. And some of the run up the middle, you know, 4 yard screen when you need to get 10 yards to get a first down. I'm like, what are they doing? So just played a little bit too close to the vest, I think.
Well, they almost played like they had the lead.
Yeah.
And they were trying to bleed clock and move slowly down the field.
Like, dude, where's your sense of urgency?
And then they didn't have any time left.
But
Chad Henne just needed a couple of first downs, and then that was it.
The play call, where even Tony Romo's like, no, you know, it's no play. It's no play. That's what you're telling guys.
Don't jump offside.
It's no play. It's no play. That's what you're telling. No play. Oh, my God, they ran a play. Oh, my God, he's got the first down. It's over. Was incredible.
Tony Romo's almost never surprised.
He's almost never wrong, never surprised. The balls of Andy Reid to call that play with Chad. Again, Pat Mahomes, a totally different story. Chad Henne, I mean, holy smokes. That perfect throw, you know, 2 yard pass. Gets a first down, game over. Stefanski blowing a timeout on a horrible, horrible challenge. There's a lot of mistakes the Browns made. And, you know, Baker finally threw a pick again. That was fairly, I don't think it ended up costing them points, but I'll tell you, man, they had it. They had a chance. But the play through the end zone, the fumble through the end zone, it's just the dumbest rule. So by that logic, then, anytime a team fumbles out of bounds, the other team just gets the ball. It's stupid. I don't understand.
I will agree in that it doesn't make sense when you look at the other rules of football, why the penalty there should be so great compared to any other fumble goes out of bounds. You keep the ball, and it just, you get it where it goes out of bounds.
Yep.
You could easily change the rule. If you fumble it into the end zone, it goes out of the end zone. It comes back to where you fumbled it. You know, next down, you just put it right there. It's not, but unless you recover it, there's no change of possession. There's no other place in football where if you don't recover the fumble, possession changes. So
right.
Why should that happen in the end zone? I get that, and my mind has trouble wrapping itself around that rule. However, I'm not 100% opposed to having, hey, it's the same rule for everybody. You know what the rule is.
Yeah, they know what the rule is.
Bill Belichick's Patriots famously they never do that. Their coach, don't reach out toward the end zone because it's too dangerous. If you get it knocked out at the half-yard line and it rolls into the end zone and out, you lose the ball. So just don't do it. You're close enough to score. Hey, that's greedy. You're trying to get the touchdown for yourself. Just leave it at the half-yard line. We'll just sneak it in on the next play. So it's not a very smart play, and you can coach them not to do that. I also like the whole big, giant reversal. Hey, every great game has a big surprise reversal somewhere in it, and that in the NFL is, hey, it looks like he's about to score 7. Instead, it's the other team's ball going the other direction.
Hate it.
That's why interceptions return for a touchdown, like the one in the Bills game. So exciting.
You took 7,
all of a sudden the other team's getting 7.
Well, yeah, you took the ball from them. You didn't take the ball from anybody. In fact, you dropped an illegal helmet-to-helmet hit to cause that fumble that's not reviewable, which is the dumbest thing alive. Hey, you know, you can't lead with the crown of your helmet. I think Sorensen had his hands in his pocket as he was diving to drill that dude in the head to cause him to fumble that ball. Can't look at that, though. We can't look at that, but we can look at this. We're not going to look at that part of it. It's the dumbest, dumbest rule in sports. It's the dumbest rule in sports.
I'm not going to argue that the Browns seemed overly penalized for what happened in that situation in a game that ended up a 5-point game and they lost out on 7 points.
There. Slam Diego Mike says the rule is that way because then teams would intentionally fumble. Do you think that they would intentionally
Why
fumble?
Why would you do that?
Because then you could, if the other team picks it up and then they have it, then yes, they have it. But if you, the guy's trying to make a play towards the pylon, right? And again, helmet to helmet hit, knocks the ball out of his hand, and it, the corner of it nudges through the end zone, right? And then you're telling me the other team gets the ball? I don't think so. I don't think so.
Whereas if it had gone out of bounds at the half-yard line,
it stays
there.
Okay,
well, then we're fine. We just stay here, and you get the ball, and you're still there at the half-yard line. It is a weird, different level of outcomes for what is essentially the same play, and it just matters whether the ball bounces one way or the other.
Well, so I go 3-0, win a little bit of money, and I go to the wife, and I go, hey, so I'm 3-0. Okay, they're giving Tom Brady, you know, 3.5 points against the Saints. I go, I feel like I need to ride this heater. And she said, absolutely not. You're an idiot. Cash out. And I said, oh, okay. All right, well, I'll cash out. You're right. Smart thing to do. Then I ran right to my computer and put more money down on the Bucks, plus 3.5. And boy, am I glad I did. Boy, am I glad I did for a perfect 4-0. And to my bookie, a big solid FU. Give me some of my money back. Thank you very much.
He's still paying you with your money.
I pay you with your money. It's a joke. I pay you with your own money. All night. Check, check, check. That's exactly right.
Now he'll get it all back next week. That's his plan.
Yeah. Oh, look at this. We got breaking news. Kirby Yates is close to a deal with the Toronto Blue Jays.
We had heard over the weekend that the Padres were not one of the teams seriously involved in trying to bring back Kirby Yates. Their focus has been elsewhere this offseason.
Wow, we love Kirby. Wish
him
well.
Oh, we do. Yes, absolutely. And I hope he gets a good deal. I hope he gets every dollar he can possibly get.
Yes, me too.
Because I felt really bad when that injury came. He was set to have a great payday. Got hurt. Pandemic happened. I hope the Blue Jays are going to make him somewhat whole from what transpired last season.
What has transpired
last season for Kirby Yates? I want to open up our phone lines for Padres fans. React to yesterday's move, the offseason as a whole. And speaking of Kirby Yates, I want to throw something out involving the Padres bullpen as well. It's the only area the Padres really have not addressed yet this offseason. So what might they still be doing there in the bullpen? 833-288-0973. Your phone calls, Padres baseball, coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.